I just want to preface by saying that you're obviously doing something right, because every time I come on your show, there's intense warfare, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
In these last days, God's people need to speak the truth. Hi, I'm David Heavener, and I'm doing just that with my brand new show, David Heavener Live, where we cover topics the church won't. Join me each and every week with my guest on David Heavener Live.
And tonight, today, no matter where you are, welcome everybody, by the way, we're going to be talking about dreams. We're going to be talking about prophetic dreams. Jesus, the Bible, Scripture says in these last days that we're all going to be dreaming and having visions. And the issue is, and the question is, are these dreams backed by anything? Are they prophetic? Do they hold any merit? Well, Scripture says it does. Let's go to Scripture and see what, let's go to Joel 2:28-29. Joel 2:28-29. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We've heard this about a billion and one times, so much that my question is, do we even pay attention to it anymore? Folks, I say that we do. And I say that in these last days, which we're in right now, we need to wake up. The three W's: wake up, watch, and warn. And my guest, I'm so glad to have her with us this morning, be talking about her prophetic dream, the coming destruction. And this is what her dream was about. And I want to bring her on. Miss Hope, are you there with me? Hello, Hope.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Good.
That's a good thing for you. Hope, having hope with a dream like that. Kind of hope that dream doesn't really come true, but according to Scripture, it will, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about your dream. You had this dream about some destruction. Was it of America, of the world, of your neighborhood? What was it?
Well, in 2018, the Spirit of the Lord came to me, and in the Spirit took me out to outer space, and I could see the earth, and a hand stretched out pointing to the right, and I looked to the right, and there was a dark planet made of different colors of metal, different types of metal. Yeah. And then I heard a very soft but strong voice say, "Woe unto the planet, the inhabitants of the earth. Something very dark is coming to the earth that no one has ever seen before."
So this obviously was the earth. This was a dream. What, about 7 years ago, you said?
Something in 2018.
Like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're having this dream. Was it a nightmare? Did you wake up sweating, or just wake up the next day and you remember the dream? Did you wake up in the middle of the night?
So I woke up that morning with just, I wasn't afraid. It was a wow moment, and I knew that something dark was coming, and I was trying to interpret the dream, what that meant, what the different colors, the different types of metals that made up this dark planet that was coming toward the earth, what it all meant. Okay. And so when COVID came and it affected the whole earth, then I knew what those types of metals represented, the different nations.
Okay. What were the color metals? How many metals were there, and how many colors? What were the colors?
There was bronze, there was gold, there was clay, different types of metals. I can't remember all of the different types of metals, but the significant part was that there were different types of metals. Silver, there was a mixture.
Mm-hmm. So what did the metals represent, and what did that have to do with COVID?
The metals represented the different nations. And okay. So what does this have to do with COVID? Because when the pandemic came, the measures that were put in place
mm-hmm.
were very dark measures.
Right.
Forcing people, demanding people to do things that they did not want to do.
Yeah, wearing masks, standing 6 feet apart.
Yes, 6 feet apart, stopping the church, trying to shut the churches down, stopping the praise and worship in the churches. Mm-hmm. All of that was very, very dark. And the leaders of the world, those that are high up in the world that are running things, they know the power of praise and worship. Mm-hmm. And so in order for that agenda to go forth, they needed to shut the church down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Hope, so you had this dream, and it was a dream about the earth being destroyed. Something coming toward the earth was...
Well, it wasn't really about the earth being destroyed. It was about a darkness, an evil coming upon the earth.
Okay.
And so those colors representing the different nations and countries, yes.
Okay. But this was a destruction. I mean, it wasn't lifting anything up. When I say destroyed, I don't mean disintegrated into, you know, oblivion. But it was a destruction. It was a destructive nature, right? It was a dark force coming against the earth.
It was a dark force coming upon the earth, and a darkness. I mean, we're in that darkness now.
We are. I'm going to play this video, and I want to talk to you about it. Let's take a look at this.
God is not going to bless America until America does the things to bless God. Now, I know there are a few of us that want to hold up God's ways, but that doesn't make a nation. That doesn't make a country. So it's, I pray God help America. We sing this song, God bless America. I sing, God help America. Because I am asking God to help America. Let's talk about what it's like to be free. You know, you're talking about independence, right? Freedom is not a country. Yes, you can be free from a government, tyranny. You can be free from an oppressive regime. Absolutely. But I'm going to talk about true freedom, why you and I meet every week.
So, Hope, God's not going to bless America unless we bless God. So the other part of your dream is repentance.
That's right.
Yeah. So you had this dream, and do you believe it was God? Do you believe it was prophetic? God telling you, Hope, you need to tell people, you need to warn them.
Yes, I know that it was prophetic because the Lord shortly thereafter, like I mentioned, the pandemic occurred a year later. And so God was warning me of the darkness that was coming and to prepare. But he also gave me another prophetic dream a few days later, maybe a month or so later, where he spoke Jeremiah 1:4-5 over me. And that scripture, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I said, but Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. And a canvas appeared, a white canvas appeared in front of me. And he wrote diagonally on it the words, how are we to live? And so he told me to write that book, which I did.
Okay, let's put a pause on just for a second. Yeah. What was the message? If you give me one word, what was the message behind your dream that you're supposed to tell the people? Give me one word.
Repent.
Repent. Repent from what?
Repent from sin. From anything that is contrary to the Spirit of God. Repent okay. from evil and wicked ways.
Okay. Let's be more specific, because we hear that. I mean, I talk about repent, and Scripture talks about repent, rightfully so. Jesus said, repent, the kingdom. I'm the kingdom. John the Baptist said, repent. He told the Pharisees, he said, you brood of vipers, they wanted to come down and get baptized, thinking if they got baptized, they could get a little piece of heaven. He said, you brood of vipers, just because you think you're the son of Abraham, you're nothing. God can take rocks and raise up sons of Abraham. I want to see fruit. I want to see your repentance. I want to see fruit coming from your repentance. So what I'm saying, Hope, repentance of what? Let's be specific. I know there's many things, but what do you think is at the top of the list with God that people need to repent from?
I think repenting from putting yourself first, you know, having that mindset where you're more concerned about the things that you want or the things that the world wants instead of the things that God wants.
Yeah. Do you think that, I call them six flags over Jesus, and you and I haven't talked about this. Do you go to church someplace? Do you attend a church?
Well, we have a ministry, Faith Fellowship Ministries.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about that and your book. But I talk about these big churches, and they can be little too. I call them six flags over Jesus churches, the big ones, or God marts, or whatever. And not all of them fall in this category, but many of them do. So are you saying, or do you agree, or what's your thoughts on this, that, you know, you're seeing all 40,000 people gather in from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, waving their hands, hearing a feel-good message. It's all about them. How can they prosper? How can they be a better person? Are you on that train? Or what I'm saying is, you know what I'm talking about, right? This is,
yes.
They're not worshiping God doing this. They're worshiping themselves. And you know what? I'm going to, on another show, I'm going to be talking to your husband about this very thing, about how demons sing Christian songs. And so, folks, I don't want you to miss that, but because I know your husband's on the same train that I am. Anyway, getting back to your point, number one is what you say that God's given you is turn away from yourself and turn to God.
Yes. Give it
to God. Stop trying to get out there. Don't the prosperity gospel, the I want to self-help, make myself better. Nothing wrong with it, but it's no good if you don't put God first.
That's right. And David, you're right. There are demons in the church that are filling people. There was a young girl who was acting very strange, and her parent, you know, said something is going on with my daughter. And when I spoke to her and began to pray with her, she started manifesting multiple demons. And this is someone that is in the church with their hands raised, praising. So they say they're praising God.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, they're in the, listen, and I have interviewed Russ Dizdar. I have a channel tribute to him on demons go to church, demons pray in tongues, demons. If people don't think demons go to church, they're crazy, because that's where they want to infiltrate, right?
Yes.
And they don't infiltrate the churches that are brain dead, that are lukewarm, that are, because they don't need them. They already have them. They infiltrate the churches that are on fire for God, right?
Well, I say that they infiltrate the churches that are lukewarm, that aren't abiding, that aren't speaking truth, that are using the Bible as a football. I don't know if you saw that out in mainstream, because the churches that are abiding have the authority and power of the Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so they may try and come in, but they won't stay because they can't stay under the anointing.
That's a good point. Thank you for that. Let's dive a little deeper. I know this may be getting off exactly what you and I are talking about, but I think it's important. You are so right. But let's go deeper. I want to go another layer deeper. When I say that they don't need to mess with the brain dead churches, with the lukewarms, the reason they don't is they already have them. They're in there doing everything that you're saying already. They're up Sunday morning preaching this feel good. I call it cotton candy Jesus. So yeah, they got them. They're there. Yeah. But the churches that are on fire, which, and I'm getting in my spirit that you and your husband, your ministry, you guys are on fire. I'm getting that in my spirit. These are the ones that get attacked. Okay. Now, getting attacked doesn't mean that you get defeated. It means that the ones that are on fire, that have the knowledge, know how to drive the demons out,
yeah,
to get rid of the demons. But you and I know, at least I know, that I get attacked all the time because I'm dangerous to the devil because I'm an asset to God. But yes, the thing is, God has showed me how to deal with demons. Mm-hmm. Not saying I don't walk on water. That's not what I'm saying. But do you agree with me, what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Because even Jesus was attacked by the enemy. And how did he respond to those attacks when he was in the wilderness? He used his word. He gave his word and the enemy fled.
Right, exactly. I'm going to play you another video. We'll talk about
what about Make America Great Again? Is that correct with God? Make America Great Again?
Yeah, I feel like we're experiencing a reprieve from the judgment. I think that a monkey wrench has been thrown in the plan of these globalists.
Okay.
Specifically says that I am not a globalist. I am right for the nation of America. But is there anything wrong with the president being for his country?
But how can you make America great again if you don't get on your face and repent?
I agree.
It's impossible. So the message out there to the people and to us is, you can never be great until you're on your knees asking for forgiveness, yeah, and true repentance.
Yeah. Yeah. When we come back, I'm going to be asking Hope about, are we being shown a little bit of grace with what's going on? Is God giving us another, I don't want to say another chance, I want to say a little bit more breathing room before the judgment. So Hope, stay with me. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Hope Birdsong. She's got a wonderful ministry. We'll be talking about that when we get back. Folks, listen, it's important. It is so important for you and I to understand what's going on these last days, okay? And that's why I do what I do. People go, why do you do what you do, David? Why? What is it? You know, doomsday. It's not doomsday. It's getting people educated. It's helping you understand what's going on these last days. And people like Hope and her husband and myself, and we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support. And we do. We need your donations. So I want you to go to davidhebner.tv/give or text the word chosen to 91999 or call 844-806-0006. Now, if you need prayer, you call that number, okay? And let us know. Also, my email is david@davidhebner.tv if you need prayer. We're going to be going underground with Hope in about 20, 30 minutes. Stay with us. So I hope you're a member of David Hebner TV. If you're not, once again, I'm going to show you over 1,000 videos. You're not going to see a lot of these other places simply because they've been taken down. They get censored. I got Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Michael Lake, Sherry Tenpenny, Lisa Haven, the late, great Rob Skiba, Josh Peck. Folks, it goes on and on. We talk about all these different subjects you can see here, about mind control, about demons invading your dreams, which we're talking about dreams tonight. So I want you to go and sign up to davidhebner.tv. You can watch Last Evangelist, Episode 1 and 2. Episode 3 is coming out real soon. We have all different subjects that we cover on David Hebner TV. I talk about the One World Religion, the Illuminati, the things we're talking about tonight, and then much more. You can watch Episode 1, Episode 2, and Episode 3 coming out next month. Okay, so go check that out. So I want to get back into what's happening, I feel like, today, and why I'm so excited to have Hope on and talking about her dream. And I will explain why I feel that way, because I feel like something is about to happen. Now, I haven't talked to Hope about this, and I'm not planting a doomsday seed, because when I say something's about to happen, it's always good because God's on the move. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's bad for people that don't know God, but it's good for people that do. So it doesn't matter what happens. It's going to be God good. And that's why I want to bring Hope on. And Hope, do you agree with that? That it's always God good when something happens, even though it seems like it's bad? God has it. God's got us. God's with us.
He is in control.
God
is in control.
But the thing is, for people that don't know God, it's very dark, isn't it? It's very dark. Because there's no hope.
Well, it's no hope for them if they don't repent. Then there's no hope. But God loves each and every one of us.
He does. There's no hope if they don't repent. You said, said it right. Now, we talked about Joel. I want to put it up again. I'll pour out my spirit. Sons and daughters prophesy. Your old man dreams, dream. Young man will see visions. Both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit. Now, it doesn't specifically say that women are going to dream dreams, but you prophesy. And your dream is prophecy, talking about repent, getting the people to repent. Do you run into an issue when you ask people, when you talk people about repenting? Have you ever told people they need to repent?
Yes, I have.
What do they say?
They just nod and say, okay, when they're ready. They're not ready. But people, yeah, they fail to realize that, you know, life is just a vapor. It's a breath away.
It's a breath away, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I talk about repenting in the church. In other words, it's not just people walking down the street that don't go to church and say, oh, I don't know God, or I think I know God. Well, repent. But you go to people in the church who are worshiping themselves, and you say to repent. Hope, correct me if I'm wrong, but for me, these are the hardest people to reach. They're the hardest people to reach, the ones that think they know God. What say you on that?
That's true. The ones that think that they know God, because they're elevating themselves higher than God, because they think that no one can teach them anything, that they know everything. They think that they have discernment. So that is elevating yourself to a higher level where you're not teachable, and we're supposed to all remain teachable.
Mm, absolutely. I've done some conferences with Elvita King. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. I want to play this video and then we'll talk about it.
What is God saying to the church today?
First of all, to wake up. So I call it the three W's: wake up, watch, and then mourn. It's a cycle. So you're constantly waking up to these end times, what's happening, current events married to scripture. And then you're watching it, you're assessing it. Because most Christians have their head in the sand. They don't want to deal with the local politics. They don't want to deal with making people feel uncomfortable. And Jesus walked the face of the earth. He made a lot of people uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying to intentionally go out and insult people, but what I'm saying is that we have to wake up, watch, and then we have to say something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to warn.
Yeah.
And when we do, this is where the rubber hits the road, because when you open your mouth and you say something that's spirit guided, it's led by the Holy Spirit, whoa, it will set the world on fire.
Yes.
What do you think? You any comments on that?
Yes, absolutely. When you speak the things that God has spoken, it does set the world on fire. It sets any circumstance that you're in on fire. And it reminds me of, you know, persecution that I was receiving for wanting to stand with truth. And I had someone say, no, don't tell it. They're going to come after you. They're going to come. Each and every person is going to come after you. And I said, just call me Esther. And I stood with truth.
For those who may not know Esther, tell people who Esther is and why you refer yourself as Esther.
Because Esther, she was the queen of Israel, and she was presenting herself. No one knew that she was actually a Hebrew or Israelite.
Yeah.
Not even the king.
Right.
And so Mordecai and Haman. So Mordecai was her uncle. Haman hated the Jews.
Right.
And so he wanted to destroy the Jews.
Right.
And so he convinced the king to put out an ordinance to kill all of the Jews because he was upset they wouldn't bow to him. Mm-hmm. And so he created this apparatus, this hanging apparatus And he had plotted to kill all of the Jews using this apparatus. So Esther, she fasted for several days and had, you know, her people, the Jews, to fast along with her. Right. And she went to the king and she told the king who she was, what her culture was. Yeah. And she told the king what the plot of Haman was.
Okay.
Okay. And so to make a long story short, the king was in shock. He couldn't, you know, imagine that somebody on in his government, one of his leaders, would try to hurt his wife. And yeah. So the plan that he had for the Jews actually became his judgment.
Okay, there you go. So your main message really is love when it comes down to it, because God so loved the world, he sent his only son. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He wants people to be saved. I want to go back to Joel. You know, we did Joel 2, 28, 29, and that's familiar. But if you continue to read on, Hope, and I want to read this. Now, this is about your sons and daughters prophesying and dreaming dreams, which, by the way, if you're just joining us, I'm talking about Hope. She had a prophetic dream, coming destruction. Now, when I say destruction, a lot of people think, well, the world's going to blow up. It's not. Any time that there is a separation between man and God, that's a destruction. It's a spiritual destruction coming upon the earth. And Hope's dream had different color metals, which came up on the earth, which she says represented COVID, because it was happened before COVID. But let's look at Joel 2, 30 and 31. We're going to go on. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire, billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. My goodness.
So I just want to just to go back a little bit about the dark planet with different metals. So the different types of metals didn't represent COVID. It represented the nations, all of the nations of the world. The darkness was represented the pandemic and all that was associated with that, everything that happened due to that. That was the darkness, the fear, that was the darkness.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, but it had to do with COVID. It was a dream. It was a vision. It was prophetic about the coming event. This was, and it was, you know, it's a beta test. We failed it because churches shut down and turned into jab junctions. We failed it totally. Yeah. And that's what disturbs me most, because when the next one happens, the next event, and it will, what are people going to do? Because the Antichrist looked down and said, oh, we know what the rats are going to do in the cage. We already gave them a beta test, and they all failed. They ran to fear. They ran to, you know, the government, to big pharma. We have to run to God. Let me go to Joel 32. Let's finish this out. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord be saved. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem, there would be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So Hope. There is hope. You got to call in the name of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But we can't wait until then, because even in scripture, it talks about that they called out to God. Jesus comes in on the white horse, tongue, slays the beast, right? Sword. Depart from me, I didn't know you. We need to call on the Lord now, and we need to love the Lord, respect the Lord, lift the Lord up, and stop worshiping ourselves, right?
That's right. That's right. That is absolutely right. I mean, prophecy is being fulfilled, and it will continue to be fulfilled. So everything in the Bible is true. And so what are we to do now? We're to walk with the Lord. We are to take that narrow path, not take the wide path that the whole world is following. That leads to destruction, but take that narrow path and allow God to guide us, to lead us. My husband, you know, he wrote a song about that, you know, Lord, take my hand.
Right.
You know, lead me, show me your ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next week we're going to have your husband on the show. But before we do, I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you and your ministry and your website, how they can help you.
Okay. Yeah. So it's Faith Fellowship Ministries. And let me.
Faith Fellowship Ministries. And yes. You're on Facebook. You got a website.
So we do have a website that we're, it's currently under development. Okay. And my husband actually has the email address to, I'll have to get it from him. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. We'll put it, I'll give it a link and we'll put it up on, put the link down below. Is there a phone number that they can get in contact with you?
Yes. It's 770-881-3653.
Okay, good. All right, Hope, don't you go anywhere. We're going to go underground, so just stay with us. And folks, if you're a member of David Heaven TV, you can go underground, talk to Hope, and I want you to join right now if you're not a member. Hope, we'll see you in just a few minutes. I appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have Hope on, and next week we're going to have her husband. He's a musician and he's on the same train I am when it comes to Christian songs. Does the devil sing Christian songs, or what does it look like there with demons in the church singing Christian songs? Yeah. I've been on this bandwagon for a long time. People look at me like I'm nuts because I ask people, I go, what is the best thing about your church? And they'll go, oh man, you got to come hear my band. The band is amazing. They play all the latest Christian hits. As if I'm listening to, I don't know, Casey Kasem. Top 40. Are you kidding me? God doesn't have a top 40. What in the world is wrong with people? I'll tell you, because we're living in a time where people pretty much lost their mind. They have lost their mind. And the truth is that unless we understand what's really going on, people are not going to survive this, right? Demons are all around. Even demons coming against this broadcast. I've had it for years. I've had things fly off the wall. I've had things move. You say, David, doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that scare you? No, it doesn't scare me, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Now, I don't say that because I feel like I'm better than it. I'm not better. Matter of fact, if you knew my past, you'd say, what in the world are you doing here speaking? I say it because for some reason, God has saw fit to give me enough information to understand that we have power over demons. And that's why in these last days, we've got to understand, like I talked to Hope. You know, they come against churches that are lukewarm. Well, they come against them, but they're already there. And yeah, of course they control them. But they also come against churches that are on fire. Why? Because they're dangerous. Because they're an asset to God, and they're dangerous to the devil. And I'm going to play you a little video here. And this is about a demon in my car. I'm filming in my car, and he's throwing the camera across the car. Check it out.
Now, you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, I had to do the show from my cop car. You know, The Last Evangelist, we have a car that's in The Last Evangelist. And I, when I was in the car doing the show, some very bizarre things happened, okay? And I'm going to play you a clip of one of the bizarre things. It may not look bizarre, but it was. And when it happened, I felt the wind. Spencer, let's go ahead and roll that clip. I'm praying in the car. And see what happens.
That supernatural things are happening all over the world right now. That mother who's contemplating that abortion will not do it.
Yeah.
That this.
Yeah. The camera falls. It didn't happen once. It happened twice. The second time it happened, I felt a wind. Now, this isn't sensationalism. Folks, I'm telling you that demons do not like you and I who are exposing them, who are talking about things normally the church doesn't talk about. All right? So this leads me to something I think is very important. Because when I did the show that night, I had one of the gatherers say they had spotted a demon in the car. All right? And then I got to thinking, wait a minute, hold it. If we go into our house and into our apartment and we cast out demons and we cleanse it of any darkness, any evil spirit, why wouldn't we do that to our car? I mean, why is our car exempt from that? It's not. We spend more time in our car than we do sometimes in our house or our apartment. And I'm going, duh, we should be casting demons out of our vehicle. You see, a lot of times you buy a used car, you have no idea where that car came from, how many demons are attached to it. And have you ever had a car where you just can't keep it out of an auto accident? Everywhere you go, it gets banged up. Someone runs into you, you run into it. Have you ever had a car where you've lost your keys and you just can't find them over and over again? Have you ever had a car where you can't find it in the parking lot? You know, you just keep losing it. Have you ever had a car where you keep running out of gas? You can't explain it. It keeps breaking down. The mechanic says, I don't know what's wrong with it. Well, guess what? This could be demonic activity. So I got to thinking, if I'm going to tell people they need to go and they need to perform, they need to cast demons out of their car, well, I thought I better be the first to do it. And so I want to tell you about this car. This car ran perfect until I did the show, and then something happened with this car. Roll that clip, Spencer.
Buddy, David here. Okay, I'm standing in front of my car. Okay, this car is used for two purposes. It's used for the ministry to get us around, but it's also used in The Last Evangelist. I play a cop. This is my cop car. But what's interesting about this car is it was running really great, doing really well, until I started broadcasting the live show from the car. When I did, the camera flew out of the tripod, not once, but twice, all right? There is demonic activity in this car. Now, I bought this car from the police department, and I should have known, of all the arrests they made, I'm sure there's plenty of demons that's been in and out of this car. But right now, we're gonna deal with this demonic activity. We're gonna cast them out once and for all. So I want you to come around with me. Now, when you deal with demons, you don't need to have conversations, all right? You don't even speak to them. You deal with them directly. You command in the name of Jesus, just like Jesus did. So we're going to cast the demons out of the front seat. Demons in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Gone. All right. So someone said they detected demonic activity in the trunk. So when you're casting demons out of your car, make sure you go to the trunk. The trunk's a separate compartment, okay? Right down in there. All right, so we're going to command the demons. Demons, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. It's done. All right, so after the demons are gone, which they are, because if you command them, they must go. I like to do an anointing, okay? And so I just have this oil. It's olive oil. I mean, it doesn't have to be some special oil. Oil is just symbolic, okay? And God does the anointing. Anointing means to set apart, like you and I are set apart for God's work. This car is set apart for God's work. So we're going to use this oil, and we're going to anoint it, the back end of it, and then we're going to anoint the front end right here. I like to anoint all the way from the back to the front. All right, now, this car was running great until I broadcast from the show in the front seat, and all of a sudden it started overheating for no reason at all. They couldn't find a reason why it was overheating. I brought it in like three times. Then finally they said, David, your engine is blown. So that means the demons, I believe, caused the engine
to go NG, to fail. And I'm going to pray to God that this engine be restored in the name of Jesus. Why not? We can pray and ask the Father for anything as long as it's according to His will. I believe it is, because this car is set apart for His will. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask this car be restored, this engine goes back to perfection, and that everything is restored, what demonic activity is taken away, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, so I just want to close by saying, some of you guys may be going, okay, David, you might be going a little bit too far, but listen, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We constantly have to walk in the Spirit, because we battle not flesh and blood, the darkness, principalities in high places. And if they can be in high places, they can be in low places, which means they can be in your car. All right. God bless you guys.
All right. It's so true. I mean, when you buy a car anointed with oil, okay? And I wanted to play that for you because I got so many people saying, well, you know, I don't really understand this demonic warfare. I don't understand. Demons are everywhere. Angels are everywhere. It's a battle in the heavenlies. Okay, principalities. We don't fight against flesh and blood, even though it manifests in flesh and blood. So anyway, if you got a car, especially been breaking down, you can pray over your car. I prayed over my daughter's car. It broke down, wouldn't start, and the transmission was out. Prayed over it, and it started in the I'm telling you, folks, it works. Because you and I have power. We got more power than AutoZone when it comes to fixing cars and having parts and stuff. But we got to wake up to this, okay? Like Hope was talking about. God's trying to talk to us. So when He talks to us, we need to do what He tells us to do. And then we need to go out and tell other people what God's telling us to do. All right? All right. So speaking of demons, I'm going to bring my wife on. No, I didn't mean that. What I meant was, speaking of demons, I want to bring my wife on so she can tell you how she's had to deal with me all of her life. Okay. How are you doing? All right, but can you testify to that car? You knew that car. You know, and you've seen my cameras get thrown around and just crazy things fall off the wall. Mm-hmm. Not crazy, am I?
No. And there have been numerous times that we have invoked God's power on a vehicle when maybe we were running out of gas or right. He's done miracles.
And it's real, folks. It's real. And you don't need to walk around holier than thou, speaking religious words. You don't need to have some seance. You don't need to have some event, you know, these deliverance events. Nothing wrong. I'm not coming down on them, but you don't need to have some event where you got tons of people or bring in some preacher who's, quote, some deliverance expert. You don't need that stuff. You're the expert. If you're a child of God, you got the power of God in you. Get out there and cast that demon out of your car, of your house, of your kids, of your husband, of your wife.
Yeah.
All right. So before I met you, before we got married, because your dad's a pastor. Did you all deal with demons a lot? Did demonic warfare? Were you?
I think the impression I grew up with was the more validity you give to the enemy, then the more power he has. So mm-hmm. It was just like an ignored topic. It wasn't until I'd been educated by you that I discovered that Christ gave us the authority to command the demons.
So if you ignore it and pretend like it's not there, then chances are they won't bother you, right?
I think Satan has deluded many churches.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of a scary thing. But you're right. It happens. But on the other hand, too, because people go, David, don't you ever, you know, get tired of fighting demons all the time? And you know me, we're together a lot. Do I sit and talk about demons much at all? Do I sit and talk about them? I'm talking about off the air or.
No.
I don't, do I? Mm-hmm. Because they don't occupy my life. They are nothing.
Right.
When you go into battle, you battle the enemy, you move on. You don't sit there and have conversations about them and tell people, you know, I mean, if I'm on the air and I'm talking, that's the subject, you know, I'm teaching, right? That's different. Or if someone's being attacked by a demon, there's some need there. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to bed at night, I cleanse myself, you know, wake up, cleanse myself throughout the day. Demons have no room, space, place in a Christian's brain or heart or life. They have no, so to sit and think about them and to start, you know, taking classes on this stuff and all that kind of stuff, that's very, very dangerous, okay? I'm not talking about don't take classes on how to handle people that, you know, are program multiples or SRA victims. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about don't sit there and start studying demons and demonology, right? But I mean, that, you know, with Russ Dizdar, I've done a lot of interviews on him, and we do talk about that. His ministry was demonic war, a lot about demonic warfare. Okay, question. We have a question from somebody.
Yeah, speaking of casting out demons. So yesterday I was approached by a very strong woman in the faith that I look up to and model after. And she said, I know that as a parent, I would have authority to cast a demon out of my child. But I'm a grandmother and I sense that there's a spirit of homosexuality hovering, oppressing my grandson. Do I have authority to cast it out? And I shared with her the story of one of our viewers who said that when her daughter wanted to cut her hair and be a boy, one day she prayed, even though her daughter was at school, and she just took the authority like you've taught and commanded the demon to go. Her daughter gets home and says, what did you pray? Because at that moment, she no longer had the urge to be a boy.
I love it. It's awesome. You know, and that's the thing. We don't need to be around somebody to pray out demons. Look at Jesus. He healed the centurion's servant, right? From a distance, just spoke it. It was healed, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to do that because we're spirit beings, right? We just speak the word. I don't care, across the world, and it comes out. So was there a question in all of that, a specific question?
As a grandparent, do I have authority to cast demons from a grandchild?
Maybe as anybody, you have authority to cast a demon out of anybody as long as you are a Christian. As long as you are a child of God, you have the authority. Being a grandma or a grandpa gives you no more or no less authority, no more, no less position. Maybe it gives you a little more knowledge, but it doesn't matter. You don't need to be anybody's anybody, except God's child. And then you have the authority to cast a demon out. Now, you know, I'm not going to tell you go to your 5-year-old grandchild and start putting your hands on him. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you to do that because, you know, the parents may freak out. I don't know. How old is the grandchild?
I think out of the house, past teens.
Okay, in the teens. Okay, yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing. Don't lay hands on anybody and cast out a demon. To my knowledge, Jesus never laid hands on anybody to cast. He healed people, yes, but not laying hand. You don't want to lay a hand on somebody that has a demon. My goodness, what are you're asking for all kinds of problems. I don't touch anybody. I don't even hold hands when I'm praying with people if I don't know who they are. I don't, Shanita will tell you, they'll get in a circle and I'll excuse myself. But not because I don't want to hold hands, it's because I don't know who I'm holding hands with. And I don't want to be connected to that, you know, when I'm praying.
Exactly. And, you know, when I first met you, I just never dreamed that a demon could be in church. I just felt like in church we were exempt, we were safe. But yeah. I have learned that that's where they are even more active and I need to be more discerning. So yeah. This brings me to my next question. When Jesus sent out the 2x2 to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, they anointed people with oil as mm-hmm. they were healing them. I don't remember an account of Jesus anointing someone with oil. So if they were anointing someone, then were they touching them or just, so it's maybe not relevant, but I'm just.
Oh, no, I think it's important. First of all, oil has no value when it right. comes to anointing, or no power. It has nothing. You know, I did that video about the Bible that leaks oil, what, 5 years ago, it blew up, had like 3 million views. And people say, well, is that oil? I said, no, the oil means nothing.
Right.
But it's the faith that you have in God. The oil is a manifestation of that faith. That doesn't mean if you have a lot of oil, you have a lot of faith. That's not what I'm talking about either. But it means no more than you going out and driving a stake on each end of your property, staking out your property and saying, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I'm staking out my, I'm claiming it for, I'm driving these demons out. The oil is just symbolic. It's symbolic. Just like eating, if you go to church and you have a piece of bread, communion, drinking, you know, the Kool-Aid, that is no more going to get you closer to God than the oil. It's all symbolic and what's behind it. All right, Shanita, God bless you. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm extremely grateful to Hope and her husband. And the praise report is that Hope shared with someone who then didn't go to your channel right away. But when she was prompted again, she heard the message, Five Prayers Demons Love, and the Lord used that to free her. And now she is speaking to a mountain to be moved in one of her family members' lives. So we're agreeing with her. And when she called, the passion of her intense love and gratitude for the Savior was just so obvious over the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have her on Underground in just a few minutes. So, all right. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right, folks. Listen, we're going to Underground. Before we do, I just want to tell you that if you are just now signing up, I want to show you how to do it. You go here and you send a one-time email to David, to admin@davidhevener.tv. And we'll send you back a link. But from now on, after this, you can get a link automatically and you can go with this Underground. Also, too, I just want to let you know, if you have a vehicle or land, a house, whatever you want to donate, call 855-500-RIDE or 844-277-HOME. It'll bless this ministry and our ministry. I appreciate it. Don't forget your vax t-shirt. My vaccine is the blood of Jesus, only the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's my booster. All right. So we're going to see you guys in a few minutes. Don't go away. Again, call somebody you love, even somebody you hate, and say, hey, would you sign up to David Hevener TV and go with us Underground? That'd be great. I love you guys. Remember, you never really lived till you found someone worth dying for, and that's Christ Jesus.
Christian TV series, The Last Evangelist, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm a special guest star in this, along with a famous actor by the name of Johnny Whitaker. And he plays an archbishop. I could be nominated for an Oscar for this. You could get The Last Evangelist right now. This is different. For a Christian film, it's intense. Well, here's what David Hevener says. Prophecy has now become reality. The Last Evangelist is a cutting-edge, end-time series on how Revelation prophecies are already being fulfilled today. From a demonic government controlled to the mark of the beast, it's a fast-paced criminal investigative show. CSI meets the Book of Revelations. Lisa Haven's in this. There's some other really good actor and actresses in here. David Hevener is a star. David's been in 50 films, 32 of which he's produced. So he's a good director and a great filmmaker. It's top-notch quality. Get your copy.